good mindset. Today, our Bible reading is basically taken from. Going to take it from 1 John chapter 2, verse 14 to 17. 1 John chapter 2, verse 14 to 17. Let's hear the word of God. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Do not love the world of the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of God, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. 17. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. I repeat verse 17. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Here ends the Bible reading. Amen.
Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you, Brother George, for the reading this morning. So good to be here. And this is the place for the sick. This is where we need to be. I'm just thankful that we can be here as a congregation together to support each other and be here, because listen, the subject that I want to talk about today is a serious one, because I want to talk about time. Because, you know, our life is completely governed by time. Everybody, I'm sure, has got a watch, or you use your phone in the church buildings. Most buildings have a clock that we can look at. Make sure the dinner's not going to burn. And Brother Gary, when he takes his class, he'll have his timer there so that he can finish in order for us to go to the next section. We arrange a time to meet here. Our life is completely governed by time. The simplest divide of time is morning and night. We know it's night because it's dark. We know it's morning because it's getting light. And so it's time to wake up. Or in some cases, if you work in the night shift, it's time to go to sleep. But we are governed by time. When we meet someone, we arrange a time. How serious do we take that subject in a physical sense? Well, we take it really seriously. Every day, what time is it? You know, how many clocks in your house? We've got so many, I think pretty much every room. In your workplaces, you go to the train station, the first thing you do is take a glance to see what time it is. What time your train's coming in. Checking the time on your phone, schedules, programs, appointments. Man is completely governed by time. And sometimes we don't have enough of it, do we? Yeah, them days, if I only had a bit more time. I put my weekly schedule together on a Sunday night. So Sunday evening I plan my week, fill it all out. Usually through the week I start looking at my schedule and thinking I'm behind schedule here. or there's things that I've not been able to achieve yet, or additional things have come in and you think, just give me a bit more time, I need a bit more time. We're governed by it. Ephesians 3 says this: to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose. And I want you to notice this: every purpose under heaven. Under heaven. And then he says, there is a time to be born and there is a time to die. We will die. That's a reality. You know, through my ministry, I've officiated over funerals, over children, teenagers, all ages, all walks of life, all ages. How many of us have been shocked by the loss of a loved one? And many people come up, recently we lost our queen. And many people said, I can't believe it, the queen. But when you look at the age of her, you think, well, yeah, what is the shock? The shock is that she was our queen and, you know, she was there. But the reality is that she would die like anybody else. Sometimes we lose a loved one and say it wasn't their time. I've sat with people before organising a funeral and gone to visit them and ask them about things, and they said, you know, it just wasn't their time. It was taken too early. But I want you to remember that you cannot reverse or stop time. It keeps going on and on. And as much as we try, we cannot stop it. Okay, I'm beginning to realise, brethren, I'm getting older. I'm beginning to realise that the little things that I used to do, I suddenly think it's just getting just that bit harder now. Maybe we're losing a few teeth and the hair is starting to thin and go a bit grey, and, you know, we're filling out a bit, you know. We cannot stop time. You will age, every one of you. You young people will be old people one day, God willing. God willing. You cannot stop that time in any way, shape, or form. And I want you to remember something. We talked a few weeks ago about a topic of what we could give God. And if you remember, we talked about how everything belonged to God, so we were stewards of God. So in theory, what we do with the things we have, it's not so much give them him, but it's our focus of how we go about the things that we use of his. So it's how we become stewards for the things of his. In other words, my income, how I use my income, in effect, is his money. My God's money, and it's how I utilize it. One of the things that I said God gave you full possession of, he said, this is yours, and you can use this however you like. He said, it's your freedom of choice. That's the one thing that I will give you, and you can take full possession of it. You see, my body belongs to him. Everything about me is his. My clothing, everything belongs to God. But he says, the one thing I'll give you, Paul, I'll give you freedom of choice. You can make any choice you choose. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden were given a choice. He said, you can choose to take of the fruit or to leave it alone. He said, but I'll give you that choice. We talk about time as if it's our time, don't we? But God has not given us the time for ourselves. The time belongs to God. It was God who designed time for us, not for him. Not for him. In Acts 1 and verse 7, and he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. In other words, time was fixed by God. The times belong to God, but freedom belongs to you and me. And so it's not about it being my time and this is my time and I haven't got any spare of my time available. It is the time that God has given me, and God says, this is the time I give you, and you are accountable by the freedom of choice that I have given you to how you use that time. That is the one thing that I give you. And let me tell you something that is very important when we think about this. I want you to understand Scripture. Scripture, God's word, makes a distinction between temporal and eternal. It makes a distinction. It says they are not the same. They're two separate things, temporal and eternal. And the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 18, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. In other words, God created time. God created this universe, and he created time for us. So time is also temporary. It's temporary. Do we not use all our time on the temporary things? I've got limited time, and I use that limited time on temporary things that do not matter. In other words, my short time that I have on this earth, I'm going to use for me. And I'll go and gather my possessions and gather my treasures and get all my careers and get everything that I want in my life for me. And if I can squeeze a bit of time in for God in his time, I'll give him a piece of what I say is now my time for him. In other words, all the time that God gives me, I'll give him an hour on a Sunday morning. That's what I'll give him. 1 hour. You see, it's temporary. It's running out. It's running out. In describing God, this is what the psalmist writes in Psalm 90, verse 2. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. So the time that we have on this earth does not relate to God and man in the same way. In other words, God's measure of time isn't our measure of time. You see, God is eternal. And he gives us this opportunity. Eternity is endless, but time is measured by beginning. The time we have started with the beginning, but the eternity is endless. So, for example, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What part of that was the beginning for us? The creation of the heavens and the earth. Well, notice it says, in the beginning, God. In other words, before creation, God. So that was our beginning, but it wasn't his, because he is eternal. And so creation had a beginning. When God created the world, he created and formed time for man to use and utilize whilst on this earth. Ecclesiastes 2:11, he has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart, yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. And so, by way of contrast, we know this. There will be an end to this temporal thing on this earth. There'll be an end. And I haven't got a clue when it is going to be. But it will end. As guaranteed as I tell you that this day today will end. At some point, this day will end. It will come, this meeting's going to end. It's going to end. And I tell you, in contrast, there will be an end to this life on this earth. Matthew 13:39, the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age. And the reapers are the angels. Christ said that the harvest represents the end of the world. The Lord will return, and that will signal the end of this temporal time. Hebrews 1:11, they will perish, but you remain, and they will all grow old like a garment. The created universe will perish. The elements will be dissolved, 2 Peter 3:10-11, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. And we want it to come when it suits us. If you could give us an agenda or a schedule so that we can put it in our diaries, then maybe we'll be prepared in time. Now, I always recall when I was in the business with the transport many years ago, my director would never give you an appointment for a meeting. He would call you and say, we've got a meeting now, come. And you had to be on your toes, I can tell you. You go up there without the right figures and answers and numbers and documents and papers and things like that. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise. The temporal, this temporary thing will pass away. The elements will melt with fervor to heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. It says, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? In other words, how will we be found on the return? How will we be found? Where will we be? I think Brother Gary said, oh, you know, will he come on the Lord's Day? He may not. He may come on a day in the week when we're doing things we should. We're only here an hour. We're here for a couple of hours a week. Is he going to come within them 2 hours? He may come one day in the week, brethren. We do not know. But it will happen. Since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of person are you to be in holy conduct? Brethren, we are talking about preparation and being ready for our God. And we're talking about time which is temporal. It's temporary. It's ticking. And God may stop it just like that. And we have to be ready. You know, with reference to Earth's history, you look through Scripture and you'll see Jesus repeatedly talking about the coming of the last day. He said, I'm coming back. There will be a return, John 12:48. He who rejects me and does not receive my word as that which judges him, the word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. Because it is that standard by which we need to live. The Lord's return will signal the end of this temporary time. Revelation 7:16 says, they shall neither hunger anymore. How lovely is that going to be? Nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. All the people on this earth, no matter what the sufferings are, it will end. And there will be a peace. Now, if that isn't an incentive, I don't know what is. All the ravages associated with this sinful world that we live on, this environment, will be eliminated. And of course, the last physical thing will be death. As man's final enemy, that will be destroyed and no more. 1 Corinthians 15:26, the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Now, this is what I want to say is this. You want peace of mind? You want to be at peace, knowing that whatever happens in this life, I'm going to be right with my God. Knowing that I've not left it too late. Think about the freedom of choice that he has given you, that gift, that opportunity for salvation, the door of opportunity for spiritual reconciliation with the Creator. That is what we're talking about. And so I want to talk about this. I don't want this to be a doom and gloom lesson. I want this to be a joyful lesson. Because this is exciting. Because today we can be right with God. Today. And if we're not right with God, we can put things right today. And we can find ourselves in a situation that is the perfect situation. You know, listen to this. You know when Noah's Ark was built, in the instructions that God gave Noah, when he told him to build the ark, he said this in Genesis 6, verse 16. You listen to this. You shall make a window for the ark. This is the ark. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit from above, and set the door of the ark in each side, and you shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. The ark had one door. And we live in a world today where everybody's looking for many doors. Time is running out, and we're looking for doors. Some people are looking for peace in their money. Some people are looking for peace in their work. Some people are looking for peace in their community. We talked this morning, you know, about we live in a world where people will give you messages not from Scripture, trying to offer peace to people, and people are seeking these words of men in order to find their peace. But here, our God gives us His holy word that gives us all the peace we could ever need in Him. And so, we see how the ark had only one door, Genesis 7, verse 16. So those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in, listen, as God had commanded him. And the Lord shut him in. In other words, there was one door in the ark. And the Lord had instructed the people to enter through that door. And the people entered through the door. And those outside would have been ridiculing and probably saying, hey, we're okay, we're going to carry on living the way we are. We're going to carry on being the worldly people that we are. We don't care about God. We'll worship our idols. We'll do all these things. And constantly the opportunity was there for the time that God had given these people. You see, people say God killed his people and flooded. Well, no. God provided a way to redemption, but they refused it. The ark was there and the door was open. And what did God give them? He gave them time. And during that time, the people could have followed the instructions of God and walked up through the door and into the ark. And God was patiently waiting and waiting and waiting. Until eventually, he said, time is up, and he closed the doors. Now, I imagine when them doors are closed, those people were thinking, oh, open the door, let me in. Made a mistake here. God, I'm sorry. Can you let me in now? I've changed my mind. You know, time was up, and these people perished, not because God destroyed them, but because God gave them a way out. But they refuse to take it. So what about our door? John 10 verse 9, Jesus says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And will go in and go out and find pasture. In other words, this door that he offers is a door that is open at the moment. And I don't know how much longer it will be open. I don't even know if we'll make this down. But he says this door is a door that is open. He says, I am that door. Ephesians 2 verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. So God gives this gift of salvation, and he gives us a door to enter through, and he gives us the time that belongs to him. He gives us the time that he created for us to make that choice. Hebrews 9 verse 27, and as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment. And just the same in the time of the ark, the people had that time. They had that time. But the point comes when that door is closed. 2 Peter 3 verse 8 says, but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. 1,000 years to him is a day. So how many days in his time do we have? How many days has he given us so far? In our mindset, we think in human thinking. But we need to think that our God's time is not our time. In verse 9, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. You look at every example in Scripture, you will never find a time where the Lord was slack in fulfilling what he said he would fulfill. Everything was seen to be fulfilled according to his word, what he said. And he says, I am not slack concerning the promise, as some count slackness, but he's long-suffering. In other words, he's going through this for a time. He's long-suffering towards us. Now listen, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Do you think when that ark was built, that God sat hoping and wishing for his people to be lost? He wanted them to exercise the gift that he gave them, the freedom of choice. He wanted them to turn to him. That's what he was looking for. He wasn't wanting them to perish. How it must have felt for the God who created these people to see them lose their lives. Not because of him, because of the choice that they had made with the time that he had given. As he said before, the day of the Lord will come. That is for sure. As sure as time, we cannot stop. And we cannot stop the fact that a time will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat, both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. So, the message is this, isn't it? I don't want this to be a doom gloom message. I want this to be a message of, listen, what a great opportunity we've been given. There's people out there that haven't heard this message. They haven't heard it. They've not had an opportunity yet. The end is temporary and it's on hold. So we will have time to give God what he desires, and that is for us to exercise our freedom of choice to go to him. God's desires aren't complicated. He just wants you. That's what he wants. He wants you. So let me encourage you today. Time is ticking. What do we have to give God? We can choose him. What does God want from man? We talked about this the other week. He wants us to seek him, search for him. Remember, we talked about a child standing next to the parent near. You're heading towards a roadway, and the parent reaches down and grabs the child's hand. But we said what a difference it would be if, as he was getting near the roadway, the child reached up and grabbed his parent's hand. Full dependence upon the parent. That is your children. Your children depend upon you. That's for sure. But the question is, do we depend upon God? Where are you now? We talked about that the other week. Where are you? You have to seek to understand where you are and examine your life. How much time do we have? The day of the Lord will come. Are you willing to use your freedom of choice and turn to him today? Have you heard his message? He said faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Do you believe? Do you believe? Have you heard where he's driven your heart to believe? Are you willing to turn your life around and call it repentance? It's turning around. It's going in a different direction. In other words, I live for Christ. Impossible for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Because Christ is my, that's where I repented towards. That's where I turned to. Will you confess him as Lord and stand and say, I believe that Jesus is? I believe him. I believe him because of the message that I have received. You need to be buried in baptism in order to receive the forgiveness of your sins and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, he resides in you. He does. But you have to be immersed in water. We are buried in water as Christ was buried in a tomb. How could Christ be risen if he was never in the tomb? He had to go into the tomb in order to come out again. And so we are buried in water. It's a symbolic act, but it's an important one. In other words, it's like saying I can cross the bridge, but I'm not willing to walk on it. We have to make that move and go through this process in order to be right before God. Will you be buried in baptism to receive forgiveness of sins and receive his Holy Spirit? I want to encourage you, please, examine your life today. Ask yourself, where am I? This isn't about me. This isn't about anything I can do or Brother Gary can do or any person in this building. This is between you and God. And this is about being found right before him in his presence. So when that time finishes, it will take us up to be with him in God. Let's rise and sing the invitation song.